John, the Gospel of John, which we read last week. We read the 20th chapter. Now we want to look at chapter 21. Praise the Lord. We ran everybody off. God is good. Hi. Look at you guys. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah, what a blessing. It's good. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. All right, here's John 21. I'm going to start at verse 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." It's always good to eat. Question is, what you eat? What are you going to eat? Come and dine. Now, they had fish. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. After you're dead and then you resurrect, you get a new body. So these old bodies, they get improved. They get improved on. So Jesus didn't look like himself. They couldn't recognize him, but they knew it was the Lord. Jesus then came, and he took bread, and he gave it to them, and then the fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So that was good that Jesus showed himself to his own. He never showed himself to the enemy. Nobody who didn't believe in Jesus saw him. Did you know that you can see the Lord? After you're a Christian, the Lord wants to show himself to you and reveal himself. Now, as long as he was alive, even after the resurrection, if you were in Fort Worth and he was in Jerusalem, you couldn't see him. But after he died, rose again, and then ascended into heaven, now we can all see him anytime by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So it's better that Jesus is not around anymore, because now we can see him everywhere. He can be anywhere all the time through the Spirit. So you can know Jesus, and in fact, the Holy Spirit is not doing anything except showing Jesus wherever he goes. And the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will make manifest, he will reveal the Lord Jesus. So that's all Jesus is doing. That's all the Holy Spirit is doing, is showing Jesus. So we're seeing him all the time. That proves that we're his children. This was now the third time, verse 14, that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" And it grieved him. It bothered Simon. Jeez, I just said it twice. I mean, the first time was enough, but then the second time, now a third time, what's going on here? But you remember, Jesus had told Peter before he was crucified, "Peter, tonight, you're going to deny me three times." So he denied him three times. In other words, he wasn't willing to go to the death for Jesus. He wasn't willing to follow Jesus. He said, "If everybody falls away, I'm going to follow you." That was fickle. How many are fickle? "Jesus, I'm going to be up tomorrow morning at 6. I'm going to be praising the Lord. I'll follow you all the way to the death. Till the next morning comes around. And somehow, what is it? I don't think right now I'll follow you. How many know that it's easy to say you'll follow until you get there, and then it's not so easy? Jesus, I'm not afraid of anything until you get in front of someone. And then you're a different person. How many have discovered that you're a phony, fake? You know, you don't know who you are. And so Jesus asked him three times to remind him, you denied me three times. You said you were going to love me, follow me, honor me, worship me. You know, you left me alone. You abandoned me. You betrayed me. You denied me. You did it. Now, Jesus wasn't mad at Peter. He was just asking him a question. The problem is, you don't know Greek. Because it doesn't say what I just read in Greek. It says something different. So I'm going to show you the Greek language because it'll help you. In the Greek language, there are several words for love. One is agape. Agape. That's Greek. And that means love. And then there's another word, phileo. Well, I'm just going to write philo because that's the one that's there. And that means love. And then there's actually another one. So you got to watch carefully what word he's using, because love doesn't always mean what you think it means. So when Jesus asked him the question, Simon, son of Jonah, in other words, Johnson, Simon Johnson. You didn't know Peter was Simon Johnson. But that's what it's saying. Simon Johnson, do you love me? Why does Jesus mention that he was the son of John? Because he's emphasizing, you know, this is your earthly father. You're a flesh person. Simon, son of John, flesh person, the one that denied me three times, that promised he would follow me, who lied. How many of you can identify with this? God, I swear I'll be up tomorrow and I'll praise you. If you'll get me out of this scrape right here, I'll never forget you. And then he does and you forget him. He loves it. He loves it. He loves it. Doesn't mind at all. He just knows who you are. How many know that we're like that? We're liars. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? That's funny. That we blow ourselves up to be greater than we really are. Has anybody ever met anyone that was a liar? You know, I mean, just, you know, you lie. That bothers little kids when their parents lie. They just can't handle it. You know, or a marriage. You said you'd never leave me or forsake me. Remember in the vow it says that? And then they leave. Don't you think that's funny? Don't you think that's funny that people don't keep their word? Don't you think that's funny? Don't you think that's funny? I mean, that's funny. That people promise something, then they don't keep their promises. They're promise breakers. Remember the promise keepers? Little group of guys. I'm going to be true to my wife. Yeah, I'll bet one third of them are divorced by now. So that was common in my family. Everybody divorced. I'm the first one. And I never made a promise either. That just shows don't make promises you can't keep. I'm not a promise breaker because I don't make them. I just don't make them. I never told Peggy that I'd love her. Even in the ceremony, I had an asterisk there. I will love you if you behave yourself and do everything I say. Y'all don't think that's funny? It's not that good, because maybe love doesn't mean love. Maybe there's different kind of words for love. I haven't told you what they are yet. Maybe love doesn't always mean what I think it means. I better figure it out. You know, one thing I've found is I'm not reliable. Is there anybody here that's like me? I'm not reliable. I'm totally. Don't ever put any weight on me. Don't put any, you know, like trust in me. It says in the Bible, trust not in princes. Trust not in man. Put your trust in the Lord. Only trust the Lord. Don't ever trust people. So I don't trust you. And you don't trust me. You're smart. Because I'm not trustworthy. I don't trust Peggy. But she did do something this morning that she said she was going to do, and she did it. So I'll trust her a little bit. You see, we're not trustworthy people. How many know that when it comes to really important stuff, we can't trust each other? The only one you can trust is the Lord. He's the only one. You know, let's say someone says, you know, you can trust me on that. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that people are trustworthy, Joe. Does that make you nervous? It doesn't make me nervous. I don't trust them in the first place. I'm not trusted anybody. I trust you. To be untrustworthy. Yeah. People are funny, aren't they? You just can't trust people. You know why? Because they're not God. Only God is trustworthy. Only God is worthy of trust. People, you can trust to an extent, but that extent, it can vary. You know what I mean? I mean, you can trust them, and then you learn, oh, well, they're not trustworthy all the time. One thing, people can die on you. My mom. I thought for sure she was going to live another 10 years, Joe. I thought she was going to be as old as you. Yeah, you're going to be 100, aren't you? Trusted you. We don't have any old people now. We're running out of old people. My mother, Letty, Leslie, and we're running out of our older generation, so we have to keep you. No, we're not old people. We're not old people. So, you need old people. You have to have them. You can't all be dying off. So, Joe, you just change your mind on that. Not going to do that. So, trusting people is something else, because you can't trust people. You cannot trust people. I think Letty left too early, because I don't think she even had her letter transferred. I don't think she ever transferred her letter here. So she left. She was supposed to get her letter from her last church and transfer it to here, but she didn't. I told her many times, too. As a matter of fact, I think I almost mentioned it every time. Letty, have you transferred your letter yet? I asked her. Now, how old was Letty? How much? 88? Wow. She was the next oldest, Joe. You're still ahead, though. Now, what is life? You know, what is life? What is life? What is life? Do you know what? Life is just for a time. It's not forever. You can't have people forever. You can't keep them around forever. They're just for a time. They're like a gift. The Lord giveth. Lord taketh away. So, what I learned is you better get everything done while they're alive, while there's still time. Because then when they're gone, you can't sit down with them anymore. You can't talk to them anymore. You can't be with them anymore. So, you need to finish everything today. You never know that there's going to be a tomorrow. You don't know. Here today, gone tomorrow. You don't know. The Bible says that man is like the flower of the field. Here today, flourishes, blooms, like the blue bonnet, then psh, it's gone. It's gone. Just last a few moments, and then all of a sudden you're gone. So Jesus died. He came, he died. In fact, we killed him. We killed him because he was different. We don't like people that are different. But Jesus loved us. And so, because he loved the Father more than he loved us, he loved the Father more than he loved us. The Father who loved the Son, the Lord raised him up. So Jesus came back and said, you see, death is nothing. Death is not scary. Here I am. You see, if you're a lover, you don't die. Or you die physically, but then you resurrect again. So death is not the last word, thank God. Death is not the last word. Death is not final. It's only final for those that are outside of Christ. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never die. How many believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? So you'll never die. You can't die. You can't. You can physically die, but you just jump up again. Just like Jesus. Whoop. When my mom wakes up, she doesn't know what time it is right now. We took her watch. She has no idea what time it is. But when she wakes up, she'll see Jesus. She'll hear a trumpet sound. Big trumpet. That's the last trump. How many know that the last trump, everybody who's dead in Christ rises? Not the rest of the dead. Just those that are dead in Christ, they rise up. That's called the first resurrection. And they precede us who are still alive. So my mom will see Jesus before I will. She'll hear the trump. She'll have a new body. Not the one she had. She'll look different. She won't even look like herself. And then she'll go up and meet the Lord in the air. And I'll be tagging along back, you know, way. Hey, Jim. Hi, Mom. Wait for me. You know, but she'll go on ahead. So Mom will be with Jesus when I see him. She'll already have been there. Unless I keel over. As Peg says, we're getting older. Wouldn't that be great if I died? That'd be great. Get to be with the Lord. Death is not scary to someone who's in Jesus. Amen? If you're faking it, then you don't want it. Because all you got, you better extend your life as long as you can do it. My mom was eating ice cream, cake, cookies, candy, and crackers. And that will not keep you alive. I told that to my mom many times. My mom also pointed out, I'm still alive. Most of my friends are not here. They didn't eat cake, cookies, candy, crackers. The policeman who opened, you know, looking to see if there's any foul play, had to check through the house. He said, I never saw so much candy in every drawer. She had that hard candy, you know, and root beer things and whatever, you know. She had it everywhere, packages of candy. And if you were a little kid in this church and you'd walk by her spot over there, she'd slip you a little piece of candy. Isn't that great? I told her many times, Mom, do not eat that stuff. You're going to die. Do not want that. That'll clog you up. She didn't care. She just ate it anyway. She was going to have a good time until she was gone. So she just did exactly what she wanted. Well, she lived 80 years. That's all you're allowed. And then she had an extra 6 being down here. Did you know that she was 80 when she came down here? So she got an extra 6 years when she was with us here. So it was all extra. It was all wonderful. Joe, you have almost 10 now, right? It's pretty powerful. You're not supposed to have that long. That must mean the Lord loves you. Do you think so? Yeah. He likes you a lot. And it also means you're not done. You still have things to do. You're not finished. You can't leave until the fat lady sings. You all know that. You got to stay until you're done. You can't go until you're ready to go. The Lord wants you to be here to finish up, and there's always plenty to do. After all, things aren't over with yet. Did you all know that? Life is not done. It's not finished. It's not over. All right, now, I want to show you the Greek, because this is very interesting. Jesus comes, he eats with them, and then he asks Peter this embarrassing question, Peter, and then he uses this word, agape. Do you agape me? So he says, you know, agape, agape. Let's see, agape. Do you agape me? Moi. Do you agape me? As a question. He called him by name, Simon, son of John. Do you agape me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord. I phileo you. So Jesus said, do you agape me? And Peter says, I phileo you. You know I phileo you. I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. But he used a different word. Now I want to show you the difference between these two words. This word here says, do you love me without condition, no matter what? This word says, do you love me exactly in the same way that I loved you? Two different words. So, Jesus said, you remember Peter's the one that denied him. Peter, do you love me? Like, you know, loving anyone because the love of God is in you? Do you love me that way? And Peter said, no. But he said, yes. I love you this way. The same way you loved me, I loved you. In other words, you were willing to die for me, I'll die for you. Isn't that interesting? It's a very powerful thing that he said back to Jesus. So Jesus asked him a second time, Peter, do you agape me? Do you agape me? Agape moi? And again he answered the same way. Lord, you know everything. I don't just agape you, I phileo you. Philose. I phileo you. I love you perfectly, just the same way you love me. I'm ready to die for you. And so, when he said that, the first time he said, all right, I'll take you at your word, feed my lambs. And the second time he said, be the shepherd of my sheep. Bosque. Be the shepherd. Be shepherd, sheep herder of my sheep. And the third time, be the shepherd, sheep herder. The third time he said, Peter, do you phileo me? How he changed it. Do you indeed love me as I loved you? And Peter said, you know, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Phileo. Now, phileo only belongs among Christians. We love everybody in the world. For God so loved the world. Agape. For God so loved the world. You love everybody. If you're a Christian, you have the love of God in you. God loved you, phileo. You weren't worthy of it, but he loved you. And you loved everybody equally. Doesn't matter if they were good or bad. It doesn't make any difference. Because there's no condition to your love. That's agape. Agape goes out to the good and the bad, to the small and the strong and the weak and the, you know, goes to anybody. So when we love the world, we love people just the way they are. Amen? But when you phileo somebody in the Lord, that means you love me exactly as I loved you. So if Jesus laid down his life and ceased to be a self, didn't care even to the death, Peter didn't love him back that way. Peter denied him. So he was asking him, what kind of love do you have for me? Do you have that general kind of love that goes out because of the love of God? Or do you have that specific kind of love that says, the way I loved you, I want you to love me? In other words, give up your life. How many have that kind of love? Phileo, that is, that we love the Lord in the same way that he loved us. He was willing to die for me, I'm willing to die for him. How many know the church today has decided not to go that way? So we stop at phileo. We stop at agape, and we don't want to go on to phileo. I don't mind that Jesus died for me. That's good. Do it. Go for it. But don't ask me to give up my life for you. It's a good question. Peter, do you agape me? Yes, of course, but I phileo you, Lord. I love you exactly the same way. You gave up your life, I'll give up mine. He asked him a second time, Peter, are you sure? Do you agape me? No, Lord. You didn't hear me. I phileo you. I'm willing to give up my life. I don't want to just be a believer. I want to be a disciple who gets all the sin out of his life. I don't want any sin ruling in my life. How many are like that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Liars. Do you really love Jesus that much? That you don't have any will of your own, any thought of your own, any emotions of your own? Isn't that amazing? You have to be just like Jesus. He never cared for himself because he believed God agape'd him and gave, and in other words, Jesus didn't have to take care of himself because he believed God loved him. When you're loved as a little child, it isn't that you love back. It's that you're willing to take the love. Just go ahead and love me. And Jesus let the Father love him. And he responded back by giving up his life voluntarily. God didn't make him phileo. But Jesus said, Father, in the same way you've loved me, I love you. So the Father said, then die for all the people. Okay, I'll do it. Now Jesus asked his followers, do you want to just be a believer or do you want to be a disciple to the death? So that you don't have any, for example, let's say a problem came up in your life and you might be inclined to say, God, remove this problem. But if you're a believer, then you believe that God will get you out of it. But if you're a disciple, you believe that thing will kill you and it'll be good because you don't really care. See the difference? In other words, what do I care? Whatever God has in store for me, I'll take it. Because I don't have a life of my own. I'll just do whatever he says. You want me to die? I'll die. You want me to live? I'll live. You want me to say this? I'll say it. You want me to say that? For example, he says, rejoice always. So I don't get to ever, ever, ever complain. Isn't that powerful? Because I don't have a personality. I don't have a person. I'm not a me. Thy will be done, not my own. So, you know, that's the kind of husband I am to Peggy. Caught on there. I mean, whatever Peg wants, it's okay. Because I don't have a personality. I'll just do whatever Jesus says. What should I do, Jesus? Hit her? No. See? He has to tell me how, you know, but she deserves it. No, I want you to agape her, love her unconditionally, and I want you to phileo me. Love her the same way that I would love her, feed my sheep, take care of my people. Especially the holy ones. That is, those that belong to me. We agape all men, but we phileo the brothers and sisters. Huh. Boy, that would be a different kind of church than just loving all men in kind. You know, it's like, oh, I just love everybody. Yeah, but, you know, to love them is one thing, but to love them as Christ loved you, that's another thing. So phileo, or philo say, to love me, if you love Jesus, you have to love his people. That's what he's saying. If you love me, then lay your life down to the death. Don't have any sin ruling in your life. How many are there? How many have no sin ruling in your life? You just have nothing but the love of Jesus. And if you want to love Jesus, what he's saying is, I don't need the love. I want you to give it to my people. Lay your life down as I did for you. Lay your life down for them. That's what Peter was saying. Jesus, you don't know me. I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to die for you. He's saying, I don't need it. I want you to feed my sheep. Oh. Well, I was going to die for you. Well, that's the way to die for me. I don't need it. I don't need it. They do. I want you to love me as I love them, as I loved you. I want you to love my people. I want you to love the church. How many love the church? I mean, love the church. You're not thinking of yourself at all. You're just thinking of how to bless others. I mean, that's death to yourself. That's death to yourself. It's different than just kind of love them, kind of forgive them, you know, don't injure them. No, this is more than that. This is injure yourself in order to benefit and bless them. Lose your life. He who loses his life will find it. Become like me. Did you know, Joe, that the whole purpose of your life is to become just like Jesus? Isn't that amazing? No fears, no doubts, no worries, no anger, nothing but joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that amazing? My mom was like that. I like my mom. She had sins in her life, but they didn't control her. She was naughty at times. She was nasty at times. She could even swear. I heard her a couple of times. And Mom, remember, you're a Christian. Well, you wait till you get to be 86, she'd say. But she knew she was wrong. I said, Mom, you know, you just sin. Well, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, she'd, so she was teachable. But I noticed every once in a while she'd sin pretty openly. You know, but you had to catch her. You'd kind of sneak in the house and catch her. You don't think that's funny? But it is funny. You know that you're not saved by your good works. You're not saved because you're good. You're not saved because you did anything. You're saved because you believe Jesus is good. You're just saved because you believe Jesus is good. Not that you phileo'd him or anything. You're just saved because he agapes you. That's the way he does it. He agapes you, but he agapes you in such a way that he now phileo's you. And you only phileo the brethren. You don't phileo outsiders. Never is the word phileo ever used in the New Testament for anyone but a fellow holy person, a saint, someone who believes in Jesus. Does that make sense? So you love one another in the same way that Christ loved you. You must love one another. Give up your life. How many are excited about that? Aren't you glad you came today? This is exciting, to have no life of your own. Yahoo! It's exciting. Could I hear a little yahoo? Yeah. It was really very sincere. I get to have no life of my own, especially if you're young. You have to give up your life early. That's not fair. At least, you know, I'm almost 60, what am I, 66, 7? I'm 66. Okay, it's easy for an old codger to do that because he's finished. Really, Joe, I'm finished. I am. I hope I live as long as you. I won't try to outlive you. But you never know. So pretty much, you could die any minute, any second. Woo-hoo! But you see, the physical death is not what Jesus is talking about. It's your psychological death, your soul. Give up yourself. Don't have a self. You know, don't be offended with people. Don't care what people think, say, do. Don't care about food. Don't care about health. Don't care about wealth. Don't care about anything. You just don't care because you have a God that loves you. And all I need is Jesus. I don't need a congregation that likes me. I don't need a wife that likes me. I don't need children that honor me. I don't need anything because all I have is Jesus. All I want is Jesus. I've got everything. You all like me? It's dead. That's phileo. In other words, I shouldn't try to get a big salary and get a big church, and big ego, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Just give your life away. Throw it away. Toss it away. Forget it. Because Jesus said he loves me. So if he loves me, why should I love me? If he loves me, I don't need to take care of me. Because Jesus will take care of me. Amen? Do you all understand? And I got to rely on Peggy to take care of me. She might see me groaning and moaning in the bed. Peggy! Because I've done this. Check her out. I got a cramp in my leg. Help! Get it yourself. I can't. My leg won't work. It's hurting. You know, one day she saw me like that. I've told this before, but I like this story. Peggy hates it that I repeat these stories, but I think they're great. She wouldn't help me because I had a cramp, you know. Get a banana. I can't. Could you get the banana for me? You know, you know, that's what cramps are. No. And so then a little while later, she sees a cockroach laying on the floor, and he's wiggling, barely can make it. Oh, the poor cockroach. She cared more for the cockroach than me. Isn't that awful? Yeah, alter it. She's going to give the real version. That was my made-up version. So you cannot rely on people. You can't rely on people. Even your own family. They'll neglect you, turn on you, favor cockroaches over you. Woo-hoo! You better have a Jesus. I'm just telling you, you better have a Jesus. Because you're sunk otherwise. You better have a Jesus that loves you just the way you are. No matter how immature you are, how mature you are, whether you're agape'd or phileo'd or whatever, you, Jesus, take care of me. Now, Jesus loved Peter. The question was, does Peter love Jesus agape or phileo? He was checking Peter out. Peter, do you love me agape? Lord, you know I love you. Phileo. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me agape? Lord, I'm not just a believer. I'm a disciple. I'm dead to this world. You can rely on me. And Jesus said, aren't you the guy that denied me 3 times? Aren't you the guy that made all these bravado promises, I'll be a good believer and so on? And then, you know, when I was on the cross, you abandoned me. You ran. Remember they asked him, aren't you one of his disciples? I never met the man. That was a true promise keeper right there, you know. He could have gone to the death for the guy. Yes, I'm one of his. Put me up there too, you know. He didn't want it. But here's how Jesus ends this story. He finally says, okay, you do phileo me. I know you. Because Peter said, you know, Lord, you know I love you. I will die for you as you died for me. And that's why he said, don't die for me. Lay your life down for the sheep. Take care of the church. That's what I love. I love you. And if you love me the same way that I love you, die for my people. Die for the ones that aren't worthwhile. Don't die for the one that loved you. Die for the ones that don't. Hello? So it's powerful. Now, Jesus then says to him when it's all done, he says, you know, Peter, I'm going to tell you something. When you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go. You know, you want to get in the car and go somewhere? You want to fly on an airplane? You want to leave the house? You know, you wanted to eat this, wear that, do this, do that? That was all up to you. But now, I tell you, because you phileo me, you don't have a life of your own. You don't do what you want, when you want, how you want, where you want. You do what I say. You'll do whatever the Father wishes. And you will extend your hands as I have done and get upon that cross and you will do whatever my Father tells you to do no matter what it costs to the death. And they will gird you. Another, he says, will gird you. Another will, you used to put on your own clothes and wear what you want and go where you want. That won't happen anymore from now on because you phileo me. From this moment on, you will wear what someone else puts upon you. Whatever the Father gives you to wear. Whatever the Father sends you to go. Whatever the Father speaks you to speak. You're not going to be yourself anymore. How many are excited about this idea? I mean, this is really true Christianity. This is not just, you know, repenting of your sin, believing on Jesus. This is being a disciple and then being mature and then being Christ-like and dead to everything in this world. Before, you're dead. Being a living sacrifice. Powerful. My mom would write stuff. Every day she wrote in her, you know, piece of paper, whatever she had around. She had lots of paper. But my mom would write stuff like this about 2 weeks before she died. I'm feeling awful today. I'm in dire circumstances. She wasn't faking. She was really feeling rotten. But, comma, but I thank my Jesus that he has forgiven all my sin. I who am a worm, I thank my Jesus that he loves me. And Holy Spirit, I yield to you this day and I give you all the praise. And then she write, I thought of this, Yahoo! And she put exclamation point. That was mother rising above her natural circumstances, fears, doubts, questions, and blowing it off and saying, I don't have a life. I'll just do whatever Jesus wants. Powerful. That's true Christianity. That's something no one may ever read. You don't know if anyone's ever going to read that. You just wrote that for yourself. That was her prayer. Because she is always writing in the first person, Jesus, I love you. I love you with all my heart. I want to sing to you. And my mom would just, you know, share all those thoughts. I do the same thing every day. Every day. I waste time every morning with Jesus. Get up early. Get up for 2 hours. Write. I write a lot of my prayers, so you can read them someday if I ever keel over. Peggy will turn those over to you. You can read them. But you may not. So I thought I'd tell you ahead of time. So you get out and you just tell Jesus how much you love him and that you don't care about your life. In fact, let's do that right now. Lord, I don't care about my life. I don't have a life. I give up my life. I let you live my life. I take up my cross daily to follow you, to obey you. I'm not just a believer. I'm also a disciple. I come under your authority. I come under the authority of the pastor. I threw that part in. I want to be everything you want me to be. You'll take care of me. I'll take care of others for you because I love you. That's surrender. That's becoming Christ-like. What was Christ like? Didn't have a life of his own. That's what he was like. Never took care of himself. He always took care of others. But he did it in such a way that it agreed with the Father's will. In other words, he didn't love people, just love them. He loved them exactly as the Father told him to love them, even to the point of his death. In other words, he was always ready to die to himself in order to take care of others. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, whatever, it doesn't matter if he had to stay up all night, didn't matter if he didn't eat, didn't matter anything, nothing mattered but to serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't that amazing? Now you say, well, Pastor, it'll be that way in the next world. No. Let's start in this world. How would you like to start this morning? Wouldn't it be great to start this morning to give up your selfish ways, to give up your will, to give up your emotions, to give up your thoughts? Wouldn't that be great? Who'd like to start? Norman? Jesse? Jacob, you're young. You want to waste your life? Are you really great? Who else? Monica? Yes. I'm noticing the ones that are not raising their hands. You'll be sorry. No. You see, here's the beauty. Jesus doesn't care that you serve him. This is voluntary. There's no law that makes you do it. It's just, I know why people don't do it. They don't fully know him. They don't fully know how wicked sin is. They don't fully know how blessed Jesus' death on the cross for them was. If you knew all that he had done for you, you would gladly, like Peter. If you knew that you were a betrayer of God, like Peter did, and then that he forgave and loved him and laid down his life, Peter, remember. Remember, Peter was the first one? He's the first rock that was tied to Jesus. He said, Peter, upon the fact that my Father in heaven has revealed to you who I am, and that you have confessed it now with your mouth, because you always have to start with your own confession. You don't start with believing, you start with confessing. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the mouth is the part. Believing in your heart, well, that might just go nowhere. But go ahead and say it. Just get up and say it. Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what. I'm going to give away my life from now on. I won't have a will of my own. I will not have a thought of my own. I will not have emotions of my own. All my emotions will be happy. All my thoughts will be clear. All my will be strong. From now on, my life will be pure. That's the way to talk. I mean, no, you could fail. You talk like that and you might have a different discussion the next day. Jim, I thought you were going to serve me all day yesterday. Oh yeah, but some things came up. Some little circumstances came up. How many know that Jesus knows there's storms coming? And he wants you to stay the same even through the storm. Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Don't be anxious. The Lord is with you. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Now, I want to show you how it works. He said, Peter, when you're old, someone else is going to do it. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Someone else is going to gird you. Someone else is going to have you extend your hands. signifying the death by which he would die. Later, the Romans asked Peter, you know, Peter, you want to save your life or you want to lose it? No, I want to lose it. I'm not afraid. I'm not volunteering to lose it. I'm just saying if that's what God wants, I want it. I'm not going to do anything I can to escape because I trust God. I know that everything that happens to my mom, everything that happens to you, everything that happens to me, it's all in God's hands. I'm not worried. I don't need money. I don't need health. I don't need friends. I don't need anything. I got Jesus. Now, the first thing you do is repent. I want you to say these words. I repent of all my sin. All right. Now, I want to show you what your sins are. Sin A, we call this license. So in other words, license means where I do my own thing. I do whatever pleases me. Too bad for other people. I'm going to do the wrong thing. I don't care. I'm licentious. But there's another kind of sin. That's sin A. Everybody knows that's bad. But legalism. I'm going to do the right thing. But I'm going to do it not from the heart, but externally. I'm just going to do it outwardly. I won't look bad. I'll just be bad. But I won't look bad. Now, that's what Peggy was talking about when she said, I always do my duty, but I prefer the cockroach to my husband. I think that's great. Don't you think that's great? Because here she is, a hypocrite, going and getting me the banana, and she didn't want to. I'm sure when she handed it to me, she just kind of threw it like that. Don't you love that? Here, your banana. Stop complaining. And I was like the little cockroach. It was all inside, of course, because I'm sure she handed it to me. But what she wanted to do was throw it right at me. I care more for the cockroach than you. Don't you think that's funny? Don't you think people are mean? But she's just like me. I'm like that too. I prefer the cockroach. So we're equal. Isn't that fair? You see, she deserves me. I deserve her. Do y'all see that? That's why we don't divorce, because we're equal. See? Otherwise, we'd divorce, because the good one would have to divorce from the bad one. Isn't that funny? You know, when people divorce, the reason they divorce is not because the other person's bad. It's because they think they're better. And they don't want to face themselves staying in that relationship because the bad side of them will come out. That's why they divorce. They're just running away from wanting to look at themselves as they really are. Because I'm licentious. I want for me. I'm sick of you not ever taking care of me. That's what they're saying. Aren't people funny? You all don't see the humor of it. You're thinking of real situations, I could tell. You got to learn to laugh. Come on, it's okay. Jesus loves sinners. Whether you're a nasty, open sinner or a secret, hiding sinner, you're still a sinner. So you go to church, you do your duty, you say the right things, you look right, you're still nasty. You haven't changed a thing. It's just hypocrisy. So that's the first thing. If you'd ever get that down, all the rest would work out. But everybody going quickly on this one. Yes, I'm a sinner. But they're not really thinking of anything specific. Or they're thinking of something specific, but not all the rest. Oh, that's funny. All right, number two is, since I'm a sinner and there's no good thing dwells in me, I have to believe on Jesus. And this is where most people stop. They believe that Jesus was and is good, but that he did it for me. In other words, he wasn't good for himself. He wasn't good for himself. He was good only for me. And so here I'm believing in myself. Here I don't believe in myself anymore. I repent. I now only believe in Jesus. I don't believe in my badness. I don't believe in my goodness. I don't believe I'm bad. I don't believe I'm good. I don't believe anything. I don't think I'm capable of doing anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's what repentance is, when you just admit, well, I have no more confidence in myself. I don't know how to get happiness. How many have tried to get happiness by sinning? Or how many have tried to get happiness by being nice? Neither one of them works. You just can't be happy if you're just in this world. You can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you don't know what good is and you don't know what evil is. You are much more evil than you imagine. And you are much better than you imagine in the eyes of God. Because God looks at you and says, I love you. Even though you're a sinner. Jesus came to love sinners. He doesn't love the B group, they're liars. He loves the A group. He only came for sinners. You got to be an A group. By the way, there is no B group. B group is just people lying to themselves about who they really are. A B is just a liar, a hypocrite, a phony, a fake. Is there anybody here who knows that? Do you all know that you're all fake and phony? That really you're nasty on the inside. You don't want to do what's right. You don't want to do what God's wanting you to do. You don't want to love your husband, love your wife, honor your parents. You don't want to do anything. You want to do your thing. You just want to take care of you. You just care about you. I could dwell on that. But I think you get the point. So the next thing is, and this is where people quit. Okay, let's just stop at two. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus loves me. I believe he died for me. I believe he forgave me for all my license and all my legalism. I believe Jesus loves me. I'm going to heaven. Woohoo! So there's a yahoo right there. There's a yahoo right there. No improvement. I just let Jesus love me as I am. Just as I am without one plea. So everybody stops there. That's where the church today, and that's why we're thin in this church. Because we want to go on. And instead of going on, people just walk away. I don't blame them. I haven't communicated very well at all. Now, but I'm going to communicate very well today. Now, the next thing is to not just be a believer, but let's be a disciple. Because Jesus had many believers. But what he was looking for was disciples who would surrender, their will, their mind, their emotions. Jesus, you tell me what to want. You tell me what to think. You tell me what to feel. You tell me what to do. And what you're really saying is, kill me. Kill the old me. But the way you're saying it is this way. I surrender me. I don't have a self anymore. I'll take up my cross, not yours, I'll take mine. I'll take my cross and follow you. Now, whatever it takes, Jesus, you do that. You don't be easy on me. Whatever it takes to kill me, of course, I'll fight against you. I'll run as fast as I can run when I see you coming. But get me. And so Jesus, he likes the fact that we surrender. You know, when you surrender, you give up. You know, I don't have a self. I don't have a will. I don't have a mind. I don't have an emotions. Whatever you say, I surrender. I'm going to give up. But if you truly surrender, you don't have a personality left. You don't have a person. You're whatever Jesus wants you to be. Like little kids. Little kids have to do what their parents tell them. Hey, you take that off. Take that off right now. All right. You know, and then the little kid, okay, okay. See, they don't have a will. They suddenly change their will. Did you all see that? So, but Jesus won't do that. He's not going to beat you because you go to heaven just by believing. But what he's going to do is say, I want you voluntarily to agree to my will. Well, you have to be 18 to do that. You'd have to be 21 to do that. Because people that are younger than that, they don't want to do it. Now, little kids obey outwardly, but inwardly they don't. You say you're sorry to your sister. Sorry. No. Say it sincerely. Sorry. That's not sincere. Do it like this. I'm sorry. Say it. Say, all right, I'm going to spank you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And you see, little kids can't do it. A little kid can't be a hypocrite like that. There's no way they can do it. So they'll give the outward hug, but they're not giving on the inward. See? But when you're 18 or 19, and you've already been a rebel, you've already done your own thing. Then when you say, you know what? Let's give up my life. I realize I'm wrong. I repent. I'll voluntarily. When you get married, you're giving up your will. That's in theory. But you know, in theory, you give up your will. In practice, you don't. See, Peg kept her will. To this day, she's still keeping it. She's willful. I'm not. I'm really, you've misjudged me. You don't realize what a good person I am. Y'all understand? You got to die. You got to spend a lot of time with Jesus, not with each other. The more time you spend with people, the more you won't like them. Did you ever notice that? Because if people really knew what you were like, they would leave. If people really knew what you were like, they don't like you because you're too demanding, too requiring, too heavy. You know? People are, you know, like you have a child, that child's going to rob you 30 years, 20 years. Some 40 years, you know, some never grow up. I mean, there are some that just, they don't seem to grow up. They don't seem to ever get on their own. Isn't that amazing? And some others, they're just indulging them even when they're 40, 50. It's okay, sweetie, you had a rough beginning and, you know, trying to make up for it. I know my love will someday change you. That's foolish. What they need is a good spank and kick them out. Let them ruin their life. Let them throw their lives away. Amen? Hey, Russell, you know what I'm talking about. You don't need it easy. You need it rough. But Mom loves you still. Still indulging you. No. That's a good mom. That's a good mom. Amen? She's the best. You see, you got to learn in this world, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody loves you like Jesus. When mothers love you, that's indulgence. When fathers beat the tar out of you, that's tyranny. I mean, so you're not going to win on that one. You don't need people. You need Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me the same way that I love you? Then give up your life. That's what I did for you. I didn't count myself. I didn't take care of my own account. I didn't handle my own life. I let the Father take care of me. Except you become like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Little children break their will. When you raise children, you have to break their will. You don't let them do what they want. Go where they want. Drink what they want. Eat what they want. Wear what they want. Say what they want. See what they want. No! You tell them, no, 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 no. It's just one no after another. That's parenting. Isn't that great? Don't y'all love it? That's me as a pastor. Whatever you do, no. That's fattening. No more sugar. That was the way I was with Mom. Mom, no more sugar. But Norma means, she's not here today, but Norma was rebellious. She would go and sneak Mom ice cream and candy and cookies and stuff. Joe, you wouldn't have done that, would you? But Norman did that. Because my mom would say, please, I need them. My son won't buy me anything. I told Norma, do not do that to Mom. That's killing her. I know, but she asked. I know, but your answer is no. Eat honey, raw grits, you know, eat tough food. My mom just munching away, you know. And Norma took care of her. But you know what? My mom was happy. And she was 86, so there you have it. God's not mad at you. He knows exactly what age you are. If you still need the love, that's what you'll get. But if you're ready to go to 3, it has to be voluntary. No one's going to make you do this. There's no law that says do it. You believe for free. You repent for free. You're discipled for free. Nobody's making you do any of these things. But if you'll give up your life and lose it, you'll find it. See, you were actually created to be like Christ. To be Christ-like. When a disciple's fully taught, he will be like his master. So here is a mature believer. Someone that's mature is not just a disciple, but they're like the master. Christ-like. This is what your life is all about. To have no will of your own. Be exactly like Jesus. Love others as he loved you. Isn't that beautiful? How many here are ready today to go to number 4? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Anyone else? Okay, how many would like to be just a disciple coming under the discipline, the fire, and the chastening of the Lord? Suffer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right, how many would just like to be a believer and have God take care of you and you don't have to do anything back? 1, 2. Good. That's good for young people. No, that's right. Why love Him until He's proven that He loves you? Yeah, that's good. Very good. They're not hypocrites. That's very good. Jesus loves you. He doesn't care if you're a sinner. He loves sinners, number one. How many are just sinners? Number one, still into license. We'll see here now who the true people... You raise your hand on several of them. It's okay. It's okay. You see, whatever age you are, be that. He knows what you are anyway. If you're really just, still sinning and you're not ready to repent, then you just sin. See if you can find happiness. Try it. Go for it. To the hilt. Don't be afraid to sin. If you're going to be a sinner, don't lie about it. Just sin. If you think sin is going to bring you happiness, try it. See what happens when you're selfish, domineering, talk too much, exaggerate. What happens when you do your own thing? Find out. The best way to find out is go for it. But I'll tell you what, I've learned that doesn't work. I tried that way. That didn't work. Has anyone else tried it like I did? I tried. I wasn't legalistic. I was licentious. I went for it to the max. I'll deceive, lie, cheat, steal. I don't care what I did. I did it so that I could be happy. And you know what I found out? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It isn't that you can't do it. You can do it. You can actually get away with bad. You can dominate people, cheat them, deceive them. You can do it. But you got a problem with your conscience. You got a problem with heaven. that's something. And another thing about sinning, other people notice. And they get you back. I mean, good Christian people will get you too. And they're always judging you and stuff like that. So, over the number of years, it doesn't work till, you're about 25, it's okay. But after that, it starts to weigh on you. That nobody wants you. That nobody likes you. And you get all kinds of bad effects from sinning. I'll tell you, sinning produces bad effects. On your physical body, on your mind, on your emotions, on your relationships, on your finances. sin, just, you have to pay for it. So Jesus has a better way. Repent. Change. What's the change? Here's the change. I used to lie about it, now I'm going to tell the truth. Jesus, I did wrong just to please myself. I didn't want you, but I'm going to confess now. I was wrong. That's all He wants. He doesn't want you to change and be good. Just admit you're no good. That's all He's ever wanted. Well, I'm no good. Well, let's face it. I'm just no good. How many here have come to that point at some point in your life? It's about everybody. A couple I see aren't doing it. They're still into the bad. All right, very good. Now, what He wants you to do is believe that He loves you and He died for you and you don't have to be good and you don't have to say you're sorry. He loves you anyway. You don't have to even say you're sorry. You wouldn't mean it anyway, but you don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. Because unless the Holy Spirit convicts you, you're not going to say it. I let God do it all. God, you do one, you do two, you do three, you do four, you do it all. I'll give you all the glory. Woo-hoo! Now there's a religion I can handle. One where God does it all. And whatever age I am, I'll blame Him. Well, you made a promise there. You said you'd, convict me. When the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict of sin. You said you'd do that. That's number one. Then you'd said, I would believe. Well, you didn't keep that one either. And then you said you'd disciple me and make me, want to grow up. No, I still don't want to. So you didn't keep that one. And then you said you'd mature me and make me like you. You didn't do that one either. So there you have it. You got God right on the, God lied. Because God said He'd do all that. But of course, he's not going to force you. Not going to force you. He's just asking you, hey, if you're making it a number one, go for it. You don't need me. You don't need a God. You're your own God. But if you believe that I'm God, number two, then let's go on to number three. And if you believe I'm number three, let's go on to number four until you're like Christ in every way. How many know that I don't want you to believe this or do it. I just want you to understand it. That's what he's talking about. He is not going to take anyone that isn't Christ-like. You will not go into the presence of God unless you're Christ-like. Now, my mom died last week or a couple weeks ago. And you know what? She wasn't perfect when she died. She didn't make it all the way to perfect number four. She was still under discipleship, still in training, still, you know, learning. She's still a learner. Leslie Ann was the same. Leslie was not perfect. She wasn't. She still had sin. People could see it. But we loved her. You see? But you know what? When the trump sounds, boom, she'll be perfect. Why? It wasn't how far she got. The issue is, was she heading in the right direction? Yeah, she believed that God was her whole hope. Did she have it down? Well, she's learning. She's learning. She didn't have it down perfectly. It's okay. You don't have to. You can die just repenting and believing that Jesus is your only hope. That's enough. One and two. That's enough to get you in. But you also can voluntarily say, Lord, I want to be discipled. I want to be disciplined. And I want to come under Pastor Jim's kill him totally master plan thing. Amen. How many takers do I have? Just, Pastor Jim, I want to submit to all of it. Now, you do realize I have a few flaws of my own. So if you happen to have the same flaw as me, I'll probably be easy on you in those areas. See? So you could pray that, Lord, let Pastor Jim keep those sins. Because otherwise, I'll be fierce on you. You know, if I got rid of it, you can get rid of it. You know what I mean? I mean, I've got that attitude. Man, if I can get rid of that, you can get rid of it. Hello? I'm about as mean, I think, as anybody I've ever met. I can't imagine anyone more mean. But because I'm a hypocrite, I also don't always look like what I really am. Y'all understand? So, I mean, I have to spend a lot of time in prayer each day just to be, you know, kind of like get along with anybody. You couldn't handle me if I was really me. So I'd spend a lot of time, Jesus, beating the tar out of me in number three so that I'm somewhat like Christ. Imagine if I was just raw me. And I can fall back like that. I can drop back into my old self. Does anybody here have that kind of a default system? You know, control, delete, alternate, or whatever that thing is. Yeah, I'd default right back to the old menu. And I'm vicious. I can be vicious just without a moment's notice, just like that. Is anybody else like that? I mean, it's just pathetic. But there you have it. So I need to, every day I have to repent again. Every day I have to believe again. Every day I have to be discipled again. Because I haven't yet perfected. I'm not yet like Christ. I'm so well aware of that. And the older you get, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you realize, I'm not there. I'm not there. I don't know where I am, but I'm not there. I don't know how far along I am, but I'm not dead. I'm not dead to this world. I'm still a little bit alive. I'm still preserving myself. I'm trying to keep myself. Peggy will push, I don't know if she knows my buttons, she'll push the right button. You know, and then I'll just become childish right on that button. You know, and then she can press another one. Beep. You know, well, you too. And then now she'll press another one. She's got all my buttons down. And, you know, it'll take me a while to figure out she's got my buttons going. She's got me. That's why I tell you all my sin. Why? Because it uncovers you. When I expose myself, I do that not for myself, I do that for you. It's good for me, so that in case you were thinking of doing something stupid, I wanted you to know I already did it. Don't. This is what God wants you to do, is be Christ-like. Now, you've got to make a commitment. Lord, I want to be Christ-like. I can't do it. but I know you promised it. You made a promise. I believe you. I'm not going to help you. I just believe you. If you can make me holy like you are, phileo, you're definitely God. You're definitely God. I'll worship you for all eternity because I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't get rid of all my sin. I can't get rid of all that one stuff. One keeps coming back. Does anybody notice that? One will creep back on you. Now, it's okay. Jesus doesn't care. He's not mad at one. Be one. Just tell him, Lord, I'm still selfish. My mom would give to all these charities. I told you she had about 40 or 50. I haven't counted them all yet, but I know there's a bunch. But whatever. Then she'd write out in the margin, Lord, because it would say, give $30 or $15 or something like that, you know. And then she'd put out in the margin, Lord, give me a spirit of generosity. Because she didn't have it. She only wanted to give the 15 instead of the 30. Lord, give me a spirit of generosity. My mom was continually working to become Christ-like. She wanted to be like Jesus. Lord, you do it. I can't do it. You do it. Because she could not say no to any of those letters that came through. You know how they write those letters so that they put a picture of a little kid or something, somebody, and they make you feel awful if you don't do something. And my mom just couldn't not write a check. But the question was the amount. And so, so she could put the lower amount so she could give to more. But she would give to all the relatives, all the friends. As far as I know, we never got anything except for birthday. But we didn't need it. But all my other relatives wanted it. So they would indicate to her, we have $3,000 that we need for tuition. Mom, write a check. We need $700 for this. She'd write a check. So my mom was, you know, a sucker for that. But my mom believed she wasn't a sucker. She believed this was her ministry, was to not take care of herself, go ahead and take care of those people. And I got to the point where we told her, you know, at first, well, you pay rent in this little place, and a mortgage and so on. And after a while, she didn't want to pay. I know now why. She has given away all that money. And so we had to take the loss. I was actually giving that money. So she was clever. I'll take care of the cockroaches at poor Jim. You see? Beautiful. That's the way it should be. You know why? Because Jesus will give me more. I have faith in Jesus. No matter what I lose, I don't care about it. I'll get it all back, and I'll get even more. You know why? Jesus loves me. Do y'all have that attitude? When you're Christ-like, you don't have a life of your own. You don't care about yourself. You're ready to give away to everybody else. Care about your children, your grandchildren, your sister, your cousin, your neighbor, your church member. Phileo. Love them like you love him. That's all he's saying. Judy, isn't that beautiful? It's powerful. It's powerful. All right. Who's ready? Who's ready? Let me see your hands. All the way. All the way. Now, you're not going to do it. You're not raising your hand to volunteer. You're raising your hand to believe that that's what Jesus promised. He's not asking you to do it. You can't do it. You won't do it. He's not believing in you. You're believing in Jesus. Peter didn't have love of his own. Jesus gave him that love because the reason Jesus loved him was to put his love inside of him. First, the love was for him, number two, then it was in him, number three, and then it was through him, number four. Did you see that? Number one is Jesus is against you in number one up here. Here, Jesus is against you because you're not holy. Number two, though he was against you, now he's for you because he died for you. Everything he was against, he died for. Then he's working it in you. Then he's working it through you. So all those prepositions are all promises that he made. Nothing is expected of you. Are you afraid you'll be irresponsible? Are you afraid, you know, this probably isn't going to work? You're not doubting you. You're doubting him. You're not doubting you. It's not like, well, I don't know if I can pull it off. You're not pulling off anything. That was number one. He doesn't trust you anyway. He never believed in you. That's why Jesus died for you, so he could live in you, so he could work through you. But he promised, I will not take you there unless you're like me. When that trumpet sounds, no matter how you die, when that trumpet sounds, you will be like Christ. Do you all believe that? See, this is your destiny. This is why you were created. You were created to be like Christ. You were created not to have a will of your own. You were created not to have a personality. You're not a person. You were made so that your hands stretch out. Jesus, whatever you want. Not my will. Thine be done. You know what? If you lose your life, you find it. Once you start giving your life away to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your neighbor, to your church, to your enemy, to all mankind, especially the ones that are hated, when you start living like that, you've understood the gospel. I don't believe I've communicated very well. I know I haven't. But it's all right. I did today. How many understood today what it is that God wants of you? This is your happiness. It doesn't look like it. It looks like number one is your happiness. But number one is not your happiness, nor is two, nor even is three. But it's four when you're dead. Your death is why he died, so that he could live in and through you and give God all glory. Isn't that exciting? Amelia, isn't that exciting? That you don't have to have any happiness or joy in this world. It's exciting, isn't it? Amen. You can live for Jesus because Jesus loves you. You have to trust him to do that. It's voluntary. But if you take care of yourself, it shows you don't trust him. If you watch out for yourself and explain it to other people, well, I had to do that because of this. No. You don't have to do anything. This is all free. God is good. God is good, and God loves you just the way you are. Don't help him. Don't cooperate with him. You know, when he comes with the stick, you can run. It's okay. He's real fast. I remember my little kids when they were little, and they'd run around the table. You know, they'd run around the table like this, you know, and you'd try to catch them, you know, and then you'd stop and go the other way. And then you'd catch them. Ha! Little kids, you know, they hate that. Ah! You know, they hate that. Because they can't, you know, they're running around the table. They know they got you there because you're running like this, you know. And you're just running like this. But then you turn around. You get them. Surrender. The quicker you surrender, the better it is. Your Father in heaven loves you. That's why he sent Jesus. Take all the burden, all the weight, all the care, all the worry off of you. The best is yet to come. Let's close. Father God, we love you. Agape. Phileo. We love you because you first loved us. And we love the brethren, the brothers and sisters. And we submit to you. We surrender our souls, ourselves, our persons. We take up our cross so that we might follow you. You have shown us the way to happiness, safety, life. You came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We have to confess, Lord, we don't really believe that, but we do. We don't. But we do. Kind of mixed up. Show us, Lord, that this is not our work. That's why we didn't believe. Can't imagine that we would ever be like you are, like you were. Do what you did. But you said, greater works than these you will do because I go to the Father. Lord, because you ascended into heaven, we're able in this world to do that which pleases you. I thank you, Lord, for these today who have decided not only to repent, not only to believe, but also be discipled, to come under the discipline, the authority of you and of your authority, so that we all together might be like Christ on that last day, beginning now. Let us begin today to live the kingdom of God. We will give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said, and now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you his peace. His peace, his peace. Not like the world gives peace, but that peace which passes human understanding. That peace which the world cannot give. Your shalom. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.